Opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, and you are tuning in to Therapy in a Nutshell here on KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. This is Dr. Patty. We're going to do a show this morning. I've got two special guests in the studio here with me that you're going to hear from. But I have felt moved on. It's time to do a show about COVID fear and COVID shaming, because it's rampant. People are suffering and struggling with this, and I have heard a lot of it. And I just really feel like we need to address this issue because it is creating tremendous harm in our communities and in our country. And it has been profound to me. I've spent almost the last month in Alaska, and the difference between how Alaska is handling this in a very thoughtful way, but there is not a lot of COVID fear and COVID shaming going on there. People were really thoughtful. And I was struck by the difference between California and Alaska, and listening to various people talk about what they've been through just has made my mind start thinking, we've got to address this, people. This is not helpful and is actually severely harming people. So let me introduce this a little bit. I want you to recognize that when we shame somebody, when we try to tell them that they are doing something wrong and they're harming other people and they should be ashamed of their behavior and they should do what I think is right, I have this opinion and I am right and you are wrong and you are doing something bad and you need to listen to me and I'm going to tell you that you're a piece of you-know-what because you're not following my lead, my example. That's shame. And shame is based on fear. Shame is always based on fear. Whether it's shame we do to ourselves for something we have done or we have not done, we are afraid of something happening. So when there's a whole show I did on guilt, shame, and blame, and you've got to listen to that to really understand more about shame. But let's look at it in terms of COVID. When we are shaming ourselves or someone else, we are afraid. And we have to ask ourselves, what am I afraid of? If you are one of these people who are shaming people for wearing a mask or not wearing a mask, for getting a vaccine or not getting a vaccine, for getting COVID and it's all your fault or you did something wrong, what is it you're afraid of? Are you afraid of COVID and dying? Are you afraid of a family member getting COVID dying? Are you afraid of being ostracized or being judged? You've got to stop and look. Why is my fear motivating me to shame somebody else to do what I want them to do? Or why is my shame burdening myself when I listen to newscasts or I hear other people talking about what should or shouldn't be done? Let me give you an example. I tuned into a newscast and listened to this. I loosely call the person a newscaster, an opinion person, talk about how if somebody has COVID and they are unvaccinated, they should not be allowed in the hospital because it is their fault that they have it, and they are selfish and cruel and giving it to other people, and they are harming the world. And I actually listened with my mouth open to this person talk going, oh my heavens, I can't believe that that person thinks that that would be motivating to change other people's behavior. It blew my mind. And it was so dysfunctional. And the person went on and on and on. And the person he was talking to was nodding their head in agreement. And I just thought, oh, this is sick. And that's what started me thinking, this is not working. If we want to be proactive in dealing with this virus, we have to do it in a different way that is more productive in helping people manage this virus. Shame and fear are not working. So that's my intro to this, because I want you to stop and think, am I someone who is being shamed or attempted to be shamed, or am I somebody who's doing the shaming to other people, thinking I'm going to motivate them to do what I believe is right? Now, let's talk about where the fear comes from, because the fear is the underlying motivation for the shame. many people that I talk to don't know who to trust. The different governmental agencies all say different things. Different doctors say different things. The newscasters all say different things. And no one knows who to believe. You'll take some mandate that comes out governmentally, and they'll be flipping all around, so you don't know, is that the real thing or is that not the real thing? So most people you talk to are often very confused. The ones that tend to be not confused are often, not always, but often extremely fearful. So they're grasping at anything, quarantine, masks, vaccinations, hospitalizations, social distancing, and they're saying, those things are all going to keep me safe. They're going to keep me safe. I'm not going to get COVID. I'm not going to die. My family members aren't going to die. And if everybody did that, I'd be okay. I'd be okay. I can control this. Shame and fear are an attempt at gaining control over something that there really isn't any control over. We can only help mitigate what's happening. And we can mitigate what's happening by proactive behavior. So we've got somebody on the third section of the show that's going to talk about COVID and the risks and the medical end of it. In the second part of the show, I've got somebody who has been a victim of shaming with COVID and is going to, and I wouldn't say victim, actually, a survivor of COVID shaming. And she's going to talk to us about her experience and what she's learned from that. And she wants to talk to you about that too, because not only did she experience it, but she wants to help other people who are getting shamed and really crumbling under that. So she's got some really wise words to say. So we've got an incredibly full show for you here today. So I want to go back to the idea of shame is an attempt at control because we're afraid. We think that if we start, the people who are shaming others, if they can quote some study, the CDC says, or the government says, or the federal government has mandated, or this study shows that if you have the vaccine, this will happen. If you don't have the vaccine, this will happen. If you have antibodies, it's not good enough. It is good enough. No, it's not. Yes, it is. And the people who are shaming tend to pull up the mandate, the edict, the research that supports their fearful position. And then somebody else can come out with another story and quote that. So people are throwing around studies that may or may not have any efficacy. If you ever deal with statistics and research and legitimate studies, there has to be a significant number to the study, and it has to be done significantly over time, and the variables have to be controlled, and there needs to be a control group. And it isn't something that can happen with 200 people or 250 people. It has to have a more quantitative population in order for it to be statistically sound. A lot of the studies that are out there throwing stats around are not statistically sound, but fearful people will pull them out of their back pocket and quote them, trying to motivate and direct the behavior of other people. And they do this out of fear. So that's part of what's making people so frightened and so untrusting, because everything contradicts everything and they don't know who to believe. So I guess the main premise I'm doing here is if we could stop the fear, stop the shaming, and start supporting each other and band together to pull together to help unite our country in dealing with this pandemic and this virus that is real. It's out there. People get sick. People have died from it. It's real. But we have to pull together to deal with it. And the shaming and the fear is dividing our country. And that's what we need to address. So we're going to go to break in just a minute. But when we come back, I've got somebody here to talk to you who's a mom and who has dealt with being shamed on this very powerful thing called social media. Social media has taken on a life of its own, and one of its main negative energies is shame and judgment and condemnation. And it is not productive, you guys. So many people I talk to say, I want off of Facebook, I want off of social media, because it is so negative. So we're going to go to break, and when we come back, I've got Mandy here to talk to you. We'll be back in a minute.
North State Now is a magazine formatted show at 6 p.m. every Thursday night. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, featuring what's going on in our town. The second Thursday is hosted by Michelle Slade, featuring heroes of the North State. The third Thursday is hosted by none other than James Masada and Rhonda Albee from Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. Our newest edition is the fourth Thursday of the month, Women of Vision. That's North State Now, Thursday at 6 p.m., also streaming on KCNR 14.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Spring savings now at Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way next to Dutch Bros in downtown Reading. Buy 5 car wash coupons and get one free, or buy 10 and get 3 free. Spring on over for savings at Quick and Clean Car Wash. Car wash coupons are a great gift or for your car or truck. Quick and Clean Car Wash next to Dutch Bros at the corner of Market and Eureka Way, downtown Reading. Quick and clean.
The Stillwater Powwow has returned both to the public and to tribal land, October 1st through the 3rd, at the Wind River Resort and Casino with free admission. See the return of beautiful dancers, the fill of powerful drummers, and celebrate our people's culture and history. Proudly brought to you by the Reading Rancheria and Wind River Resort and Casino. The Stillwater Powwow, October 1st through the 3rd, at the Wind River Resort and Casino with free admission. For information, call 530-242-4558 or visit stillwaterpowwow.com. Brought to you by Chicken Ranch Rancheria, the Potter family, and this station.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. This is Dr. Patty, and we're talking about COVID fear and shaming. And I have with me here in the studio Mandy. And Mandy is a mom, and she has recently gone through a pretty severe COVID shaming incident. And I asked her if she would be here today, and out of bravery and the desire to help other people going through this, she agreed to be here, and I am profoundly grateful. So, Mandy, tell us what happened. Tell us your story.
Well, a few weeks ago on a Friday morning, I got a call from my daughter's school, my 8-year-old, who's in third grade. And they said, you know, we have Kate up here in the office, and she's got a temp of 103. And I said, okay, I'll be right there. So I canceled my appointments, cleared my schedule, immediately went and picked her up. I had her home within probably 20 minutes. And I had some rapid tests at home. So
rapid COVID test.
Yeah, rapid COVID test. So I gave her a rapid test, and it showed that she had COVID. So I called the school, and I said, I just tested her at home. She does have COVID. And they said, okay, well, you know, we need to go now quarantine her close contacts. You know, who have you played with recently for more than 15 minutes, et cetera. Went through all of that. And then her sister obviously came home from school, too, and we all started quarantining. So a day later, one of my friends asked me if I knew a particular parent at school and if our kids were in the same class. And I said, yeah. And she said, oh, she's kind of blasting what happened on social media. And she showed me some screenshots because I'm not friends with this person, so I couldn't see it. And this parent had gone on for about 4 paragraphs, rant style, basically saying, you know, not only did my child get, you know, exposed, and so I'm worried for her health, but I'm livid about how it happened. And then proceeded to say that a symptomatic child had been sent to school, and that this child also refuses to wear a mask. And so she started talking about how, you know, this was 100% the parents' fault, that these parents are incredibly selfish, that people now have to all clear their schedules for the next couple of weeks, and you know, my child's now afraid of getting COVID, and, you know, she just went on and on and on.
She called you negligent, too.
Yeah. And she said, you know, I just don't see how a parent could have sent their kid to school if they had a pending COVID test, or how, you know, you would send your kid to school if they were symptomatic. You know, this is just irresponsible. And I just kind of read the words, and I thought, wow, this is really harsh. really, really harsh and also not true. Mm-hmm. She made so many leaps and so many judgments.
And assumptions.
And assumptions without even having the facts. And, you know, the thing is, too, is it's very one-sided. So, you know, when you look and read the comments underneath it of, you know, 30 other people saying, wow, that's so horrible, you know, what terrible people. And now you have, like, this mass group of parents that are all shaming one person. And I'll say she didn't use my name, but, you know, schools are small communities. And mm-hmm. it's not hard for people to figure out. Obviously, one of my friends figured it out. So, you know, I couldn't believe that, you know, those kinds of harsh words and calling other parents that, you know, selfish because your kid got my kid quarantined and potentially exposed them just kind of blew me away. And so I sent her a private message and I said, you know, you don't have your facts right. She didn't have any symptoms when I sent her to school. She spiked a sudden high fever, and I tested her immediately at home. And so I told her the real situation. And she did apologize for it, but...
The damage was already done.
Yeah.
And don't forget the fact that you told her that your daughter does wear her mask at school, and the teacher confirmed that she wears her mask at school and keeps it on.
Yeah.
She's compliant with masks.
Yeah, and she did make a second post and said, you know, the parent I was talking about contacted me, and it sounds like, you know, I was mistaken on some of these things. And she did apologize to me very sincerely, I would add. But I did notice, though, in those comments that she said that, essentially, she still doesn't believe that my daughter wears her mask at school. And this is mostly based on the fact that I've spoken to our school board and I've spoken to other parents and I've been, you know, I guess open in my opinion that I choose not to mask my kids if I had the choice to at school, you know.
Correct.
And so she just assumes that because she knows that I feel that way about masks, that my child must not be masking in class.
But the fact is, once your school decided masks were happening, your kids have complied.
Yeah,
you were a vocal opponent to it and tried to get the school board to listen that masks were not healthy for kids, but they decided to go with the state mandate or whatever it is, and you have complied completely, 100% complied.
Yeah, and I talked to my daughter's teacher because she called us to help us with some of the homeschooling that we were doing during quarantine. And I just asked her, I said, you know, how's Kate's mask wearing in class? And she said, oh, she's great. She does good with it. You know, I have to remind her sometimes, but I have to remind all of them sometimes.
Well, they're in third grade. Hello.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And she said, you know, there's a few who are pretty disobedient, but Kate's not one of them. She's a good kid, you know? And so I still feel that there's this division there where, you know, it seems like because this parent's daughter said that my kid doesn't wear a mask, that she thinks that my kid wasn't wearing a mask. But the truth is, you know, the teacher is saying, yeah, she does fine with it.
Yeah. So answer this for me, Mandy. How did you feel emotionally when this happened to you?
I felt incredibly hurt and shocked.
Mm-hmm. And you had to wrap your head around it. And I have a lot of respect for you, and I want to commend you for how you handled it. You did not blow up. You did not engage in the social media tete-a-tete and, you know, argue on there. You did a private message with facts to her without even screaming and shaming and fear-based. You were incredibly articulate, centered, and emotionally developed. And I can say that from my professional opinion. I read all of it, and I was profoundly impressed by how you handled it in such a developed way and kind way. But you made a really good point to me, which is what I wanted you to really talk about here. You have seen other people crumble under that same kind of oppression and hatred and vilifying other people on social media and then the gossip chain. And Facebook and Twitter and all this stuff has become the new gossip chain, hasn't it? But mm-hmm. also in person at the school, the gossip chain. So could you speak to that of what you worry about for other people, how you could have crumbled under this?
Yeah, it was very shocking, and it to me it felt very unfair as well. And you know me well enough to know that I'm also a big Like, I like things to be fair.
I think most
that's a big thing
do.
For me. But it felt very unfair because of the fact that the assumptions were all based on inaccuracies in the first place. You know, they were just jumping to conclusions and making those assumptions. And people were saying really, really harsh things. I mean, I've seen people saying all kinds of mean stuff, COVID shaming, you know, mostly that people are selfish. A-holes is the term I keep seeing.
And they're
all the
killing
time.
Us. They're selfish a-holes that are going to kill us.
There was another parent who commented on that thread and said, I'm also livid because my son was quarantined as a result of this same case. Irresponsible parents like this are playing Russian roulette with our children's lives.
Yeah.
And I just get shocked that parents are so mean to one another. I mean, our kids are being raised in the same community. They know each other. They sit next to each other at school. And I don't understand how parents think that it's appropriate to treat your fellow parent with such disregard.
Well, and the shaming is, you can see in that exact example, that how the shaming comes from fear. These parents are very fearful for their children's lives. And so in an attempt to gain control of COVID, of exposure from one kid to another, they are grasping at anything that they think will help. They're shaming. Now, let's look at the facts of 8-year-olds and masks. I mean, I watch my 8-year-old granddaughter with her mask, and she's jerking on it. She's pulling on it. The thing is dirty half the time because it's, you know, she's sneezed in it. She's blown her nose in it practically. And she's a wonderful little kid, and she cooperates with masks. And so that mask is not really sanitary. And how effective do we think that is in a third grade class that all day long these little kids are going to keep their masks secure in place and working and clean and everything else? It's a pipe dream. And so if we want to start blaming the teacher, the school, the parents, the children, a mandate, a regulation, it doesn't help to blame anybody. And to shame anybody doesn't make third graders wear their masks better and more consistently. So the fear is about control, and the control makes people like these parents who are so incredibly fearful try to shame you, to say you were negligent and selfish and horrible and you weren't doing what you needed to do to make your kid safe so their kid could stay safe. So her getting COVID was your fault. That's what I'm hearing. Now, is that it felt to you?
Oh, 100%.
And they even said those words.
Yeah.
The other thing I read when I read through those threads was they were saying you were responsible for any financial trouble, financial hardship that these families had to go through with quarantine and having to stay home with their kids.
Well, they didn't directly infer that I would be responsible for it, but they made the point that, you know, now because of this selfish, irresponsible parent that, you know, they have to now try to scramble to find childcare and their work situation, et cetera.
Yeah, I didn't need to say that they were trying to make you come up with money to pay them, but you were responsible for their financial childcare hardship.
Yeah, yeah, it was my fault, essentially.
Oh, and they said that clearly.
Yes.
Because of these negligent, selfish parents, we now have to.
Mm-hmm.
And that was based all on assumptions. And one of the points that is happening here is that we need to recognize that this could happen to anybody. Kids are going to get sick. People are going to get sick from COVID, you guys. It's out there. It's everywhere. How many of us in the population can say we've never gotten a cold or we haven't gotten the flu or something that was going around? I remember when I was little, I got measles before the measles vaccine came out. Everybody in the school was getting measles. And so viruses go around. It's going to. And in the third section of the show, we're going to talk about the medical issues of how we can not shame and we can try to help. But I want your experience, Mandy, to really show people that, first off, you don't have to crumble when somebody shames you. You felt your feelings, you were angry, you were sad, you were crying, you were upset, and then you handled it. And you said no, and this isn't appropriate, and please don't do this. And you are articulate and very centered in how you handled it. And I think that is an incredible model for other parents that are getting shamed for their kids getting sick. And let's expand that. There are people that are shamed for getting COVID themselves. People feel shame when they get COVID. Like, what did I do wrong? Is it my fault? Am I going to kill my kids? Is this because my mask slipped in the grocery store? Is this because, fill in the blank, of all the paranoid things people feel? COVID shame is huge. And shame is fear. And fear is the mind killer. And fear is not only the mind killer. It lowers your immune system. It makes you vulnerable emotionally. And what makes you vulnerable emotionally is not good for your health. Does this make sense?
Yeah.
So this message that you're giving, Mandy, to other parents and other people about how you handled the attempt to COVID shame you, I think is a beautiful message and very important. And, all right, we got to go to break. And I want to thank you, Mandy, for being brave enough to get on this show out loud and try to help other people.
Thank you.
It's awesome. Okay, we're going to go to break, and when we come back, I've got Dr. Richard Malachi, who's going to talk to you about the medical end of COVID. Be back in a minute.
It's a bright new day. The sun is shining, the birds are singing, and there's never been a better day to try Mount Shasta spring water. Hi, I'm Bob the Drop. I come from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta. I'm bottled at the source. It doesn't get more cool and refreshing than that, and it's delivered right to your door. Yep, pure and simple, naturally the best. Start your bright new day by calling 1-800-922-6227 to order some of the best tasting water on the planet, Mount Shasta spring water.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans' issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5 1460 AM.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
I'm Lee Hull.
And I'm Lee Esses.
And we co-host Writing Roots.
It's a 10-minute podcast in which we, an author,
and her editor,
cover lessons we've learned about the writing process.
So whether you're an experienced storyteller or still working on that first book,
now is the time to check us out.
Writing Roots is available on iTunes, Spotify, and anywhere you find your podcasts. And don't forget to always
write selfishly.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, Dr. Patty, and we are talking about COVID fear and shaming. You're listening to Randy McGinnis, Native American flutist, and his beautiful music. We want to thank Randy for allowing us to use his music on this show. All right, I've got here in the studio Dr. Richard Malachi, 40 years experience in the medical field. He is an incredible diagnostician, and he's just an amazing doctor. He and I share a lot of clients, and I know him really, really well. Thank you, Dr. Malachi, for joining us today.
You're welcome, Dr. Patty.
But you see this COVID shaming a lot and the fear about COVID. Can you please speak to us from your perspective?
Well, yes. Okay, so the fallout from all these subjects that we're talking about this morning is just tremendous. I mean, it's just my last 18 months in my office has been, it's crazy time. So, yeah, I normally will see anxiety produces a lot of physical manifestations, of course. One of the most common ones is abnormal stomach acid. And I normally see a bleeding ulcer about once every 4 or 5 years. Last weekend, I had my fifth bleeding ulcer. I mean, throwing up bright red blood all over the computer keyboard. My fifth one since this all started. Mm-hmm. It's just incredible. And lots of suicidal teenagers, lots of normally stable people, emotionally stable people who are just coming apart at the seams. So, you know, there's a lot of controversy about all these subjects, but this virus is an equal opportunity infector. It doesn't matter who you are or what you are. You have two choices. You can get the vaccine or you can get sick. One of those two things is going to happen. You don't have three choices. You got two. Mm-hmm. And if you have it, basically, if you have it, it's a test of the fitness of your immune system. If you have a fit immune system, you're going to be fine. If you have an unfit immune system, you could end up 6 feet in the ground. And that terrifies a lot of people. So, and fear is the mind killer. I've been seeing lots of COVID. I don't know why I'm keeping track, but I'm up to 137 patients that I've diagnosed and treated through my parking lot, because that's what we do.
You walk out in your
parking lot. Yeah, if you're sick, you stay
in your vehicle.
Looking
like a hazmat suit. Yeah.
Well, fortunately, I'm lucky I don't need that because I have natural immunity from last October. But, and that's, you know, it doesn't matter. But,
It counts.
It means that I can't give it to them or get it from them.
Right.
So, which is a blessing for my job. But, the patients, I had a patient, under 30, a woman in the truck 2 weeks ago, and her husband had recovered from COVID a week earlier, and they have two little kids, and I went out there, and she has every COVID symptom, and I do her nasal test, but, you know, I'm pretty much know that she has it. And I just looked at her and said, you do have COVID. And she just burst into tears. She was sobbing. Mm-hmm. And she said, I knew it. I knew I was going to die of COVID. And my husband is going to have to be remarried. Mm. The poor thing.
All the things she's fearing.
Oh, my gosh. And her husband's walking outside the truck, and he's just got his head in his hands like he doesn't know what to do with her because she is so frightened.
She
was equally frightened about getting the vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of a lose-lose for a lot of people that, you know, they don't want the vaccine, but they don't want to get COVID. Well, you're mm-hmm. going to get COVID if you don't get the vaccine. And another thing that we probably should talk about, especially vis-a-vis the schools, is in 2020, more people under 18 died of respiratory syncytial virus. Actually, many more died of respiratory syncytial virus than died of COVID.
Mm-hmm.
COVID makes all the kids sick. I was so grateful my grandkids got it at Christmas. Mm-hmm. They were 20 months and 22 months old.
Mm-hmm.
But I was really happy they got it because now they've got the antibody,
mm-hmm.
you know. And, of course, they weren't even sick for a day.
Right.
Yeah, the real young people and real physically active people, their immune system makes short work of this thing.
Right. Well, Mandy's kids, both kids got it, and they were only sick for a day.
Yeah, they spiked a fever for about 24 hours, and that was it, and it was easily controlled.
Yeah, that's what I've been seeing at work. In fact, I had I've had a 3-year-old, I had a 16-year-old, and a 15-year-old 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, mm-hmm. I had 14 new ones mm-hmm. in the parking lot. So the Delta wave is definitely here in town. But, you know, the schools, I think, driven by fear. And if your first grader lives with a 95-year-old great-grandfather, well, those people have to be a little more careful. If your seventh grader is on chemo for leukemia, don't send them in public. You know, mm-hmm. that's the people that the virus wants to pick on.
Right. But and then the severely obese and the...
And every now and then you
comorbidities,
get a young
diabetes
person
and all
really
that.
Heavy. The obesity is the biggest comorbidity.
Yeah, they can't handle the lung involvement.
Yeah, well, their bone marrow is full of fat cells.
Yeah.
And the bone marrow is where your immune system is made. So, yeah, I guess my attempt, I guess, at work is to try to get people to understand a little bit about their physiology. If they don't want the vaccine getting COVID, do what you can to spiff up your immune system.
Mm-hmm. Also, that's the most important thing.
Yes, and you can do that. There's steps you can take to do that. And the other thing that I would like to say today is I had a 40-year-old CHP officer that I thought would recover quickly. He goes to the gym 3 times a week. He's really in shape and mm-hmm. and doesn't smoke, no diabetes, no comorbidities. But after about 4 days, he just wasn't getting better, and his wife called. I had her take him in and get his vitamin D level checked. Mm-hmm. And we like it to be about 50. His level was 15.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we loaded up with vitamin D, he was better in 3 days. So low vitamin D hurts your immune system function. Mm-hmm. And if you haven't had your vitamin D checked, we live here above the 35th parallel, so it's a good idea to get your vitamin D checked if you think you're thumbing your nose at this virus.
Well, let me ask you a strategic question here. Is it dangerous for somebody to start taking vitamin D if they haven't taken it while they wait to get into their doctor to get a vitamin D check?
No, it's not. It is. So vitamin D is a fat-soluble vitamin. All fat-soluble vitamins, it's possible to overdose on vitamin D and vitamin A also. Vitamin C, you can't take too much because if you take too much, you pee it out.
Yeah. The Japanese think we have the most expensive urine in the world.
Yes, that's probably correct. But you can go crazy, but the best thing to do is just check it and see what your baseline is, whether you're taking some or not. And if you're low, don't be low. Your immune system won't work as well.
So people shouldn't just start taking vitamin D without checking with their doctor.
Well,
that's the safest answer.
Yeah, the right thing to do is to get a check first, see where you are, and then what we can't predict for each individual person is how well they'll absorb it.
Right. Like so you need to check again after 6 weeks.
Oh, yeah, I had a couple. The husband's 220 and the wife is 120, and she took 1,000 units a day, and her blood level was 50, and he took 1,000 units a day, and his blood level was 10. So, yeah, you can't really... You just have to check.
Oh, you
mean
you're talking about their weight was 200 and 120? Okay, I was trying to figure what numbers he recalled.
We talk about weight all the time.
Yeah.
Do you get a lot of people here in our community that say, well, I would assume my vitamin D is okay because it's so sunny here all the time?
Well, yeah, I guess that's fairly common. I've had people have low vitamin D who had a pretty good tan, too. So.
Yeah, some of it depends on your absorption.
It all depends on
the absorption. And this virus is so responsive to vitamin D, I think it's really important that you have it checked and that your doctors, like you said, your office now routinely checks everybody's vitamin D.
Yeah, and to be honest, I never did until this pandemic started.
Right, because, who knew? This pandemic is changing how things are being done. So let's go back to your statement. You're either going to get the vaccine or you're going to get COVID. If you're going to get COVID and you've got a good immune system and you're solid and you're not overweight and you don't have comorbidities and you're okay, you're probably going to come through it fine. And there are exceptions to everything. So those of you out there saying, I heard of my best friend's uncle's cousin's sister who died of COVID. Okay. It does happen. And people do get sick for whatever reasons, more sick than others. So you're going to get the vaccine or you're going to take the risk of COVID. Go to the vaccine part because there's so much fear and so much shaming happening of people of get the vaccine, don't get the vaccine. I'm quoting this study, I'm quoting that study. You have antibodies, that doesn't count. One doctor said to me, it doesn't matter if somebody has antibodies, they need to get the vaccine too because that's going to boost it two ways. And I know a whole lot of people that got the vaccine when they had antibodies and had a severe reaction to it. So there's these risk factors that everybody is weighing and afraid of or worried about or concerned if we're even going to go more gentle here. But there's a whole lot of shaming going on about get it or not, antibodies or not.
And I don't think it's productive. I think if you shame someone or if you try to frighten someone about getting the virus or getting a vaccine, it doesn't really work. You know, if your goal is to get everyone vaccinated or achieve herd immunity, try something that works.
And that's what we're going to spend the third part of the show working on. All three of us are going to talk about what would work with kids at school as a mom. What would work as a doctor? What would work as a psychologist saying, let's try something different than fear and shaming? That is the whole purpose of this show, you guys, to say that shaming is harmful and does not achieve the goal that people are trying to achieve with the shame and the fear. So we want to offer a different possible solution than you're bad and I think you're horrible and selfish and negligent and whatever. So talk for just a second before we have to go. We've got just about a minute left. How safe do you feel like the vaccines are?
Well, so what I've been telling everyone for the whole time is these vaccines are safe. They don't hurt you if you don't already have any antibodies. Mm-hmm. One of the basic principles of immunology, it's like immunology 101, is don't vaccinate people who are already immune. It risks triggering the same thing that can kill you with COVID. It risks triggering this thing called the cytokine storm.
Which takes your lungs out.
It can kill you.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I've been telling everybody this story years ago, 30 years ago. Gosh, I hate to admit that. I had this really nice patient, was adopted out of a Bangkok, Thailand orphanage when she was 12. And this couple got her through Northern Valley Catholic Social Services or something like that. And anyway, so I had to put a TB skin test on her because she got accepted to nursing school. And she came back the next day. Her arm was as big as her leg because she was already immune to tuberculosis because she had been exposed to it at the orphanage.
Right.
Don't put antigens into people who are already immune.
Yeah, and one of the things that people shame everybody about is it doesn't matter if you've had COVID, get the vaccine anyway. And
it improves it reduces your risk of reinfection by less than 1%.
Yeah.
Statistically insignificant.
But your risk of something happening because you already have the antibodies and those responding to the vaccine can be higher than that improving
Correct.
Of 1%. Okay, so we realize that that's a controversial subject and difficult. Dr. Malachi and I did a show on choosing vaccines, making an informed choice. You can go to my podcast, Dr. Patricia Bay, Therapy in a Nutshell, and look up the show on vaccines, making an informed decision. All right, we're going to go to break. When we come back, we want to try to give you a different way to handle this instead of fear and shame. Be right back.
Hi, my name's Nick Gardner. I have a show here on KCNR, Sunday mornings from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. every other Sunday. The name of my show is Poke the Hornet's Nest.
There's no mountain I can't climb. There's no tower too high. No plane that I can't learn how to fly. What do I gotta do to get through to you to show you there ain't nothing I can't take this chainsaw to?
I'm going to concentrate on local politics mainly, but we'll talk about national politics also. You'll get the view of the common citizen here in Redding, California. And remember, today is the first day of the rest of your life. Maybe it's a good time for a new perspective about what's been going on in our town, in our state, in our nation. I hope you tune in and hear the other side of the news.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
KCNR invites you to join us the second Friday of the month starting at 8 a.m. for the Gorman Law Hour featuring local attorney Patrick Gorman, a legal expert when it comes to injured workers, compensation claims, and employee claims. So, if you have a legal question or just wonder whether or not you have a legal issue or problem, talk to Patrick Gorman, attorney at law, during the Gorman Law Hour starting at 8 a.m. the second Friday of the month on KCNR.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. This is Dr. Patty, and we are talking about COVID fear and shaming. And here in the studio with me is Dr. Richard Malachi and Mandy, who is a mom, who went through this COVID shaming with her child getting COVID at school. So here's the main point of this show today. There's got to be another way to motivate people to deal with COVID from a unifying perspective instead of a divisive, divisive separating our country. Shame and fear separate everybody, and they do not make people do what you want them to do. And it's not sound psychological problem solving. How many of you out there raise your children with intense shame and fear? If you do, you need parenting help. Okay? And that is my professional opinion. Good parents try Yep. not to shame their children to death. All right? And everybody slips sometimes, all right? Like, I can't believe you did that. Okay. But no one's perfect. But generally, we try to be positive, encouraging, and enlightening, and directive and informative to our children, not shaming. So how can we, a mom here, a doctor, and a psychologist, how can we be more proactive in helping people be connected and helping each other than shaming and fearful. Mandy, give us a mom perspective. How would you deal with another mom at school whose kid gets COVID or helping other moms understand this? Can you give us your opinion?
Well, my personal philosophy on it was to address it directly with those parents in a way that I felt was respectful to them as well, right? Where I can just say, hey, look, here are the facts of the situation. Mm-hmm. I did what anybody reasonable and responsible would have done, you know? And so I think that my goal with that was just to help them understand someone else's perspective with this and also to kind of call them out on the fact that what they did was hurtful. The words that they used were hurtful. And that they hadn't really thought it through, I think, when they said them.
Mm-hmm. They just responded from their own fear.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't know whether it had an impact. One of the parents, there was essentially two who were COVID shaming me over this case, but one of them did apologize. The other one, I would say not really. So I don't know if that will change the way that they move forward with it or not, but one thought that I had, and I'm planning to talk to our school about, is that I think that the school can take a little bit of a leadership role and say, you know, they can't control what parents do on social media or how they treat each other, but schools are still communities, and they could kind of be a beacon for the parents and just say, you know, hey, we're becoming aware that there's some issues going on with, like, your kid got my kid quarantined, mm-hmm. right, or your kid exposed my kid to COVID. And they could make some recommendations about, you know, what are maybe more appropriate ways to handle that.
How to offer support, encouragement, instead of shaming and fear.
Yeah. They, you know, I don't know how you would word that message, but, you know, there's got to be something that they can say that they can kind of address that from a community perspective, you know, of being respectful to the people that are raising kids with yours, you know?
Well, you know, it's interesting. Our schools are in charge of education, right? So what you're saying is, how about if we educate the parents on how to handle this if it happens within our school? And I will tell you this. If you go to the school and want to volunteer to be a parent, I'll go and volunteer to be the psychologist that 'll help teach a little mini workshop or something like that to this school and see if we can help guide them in the right direction. So that'd be something proactive you and I could do to help this school and other parents.
Yeah.
Okay, Dr. Malachi, what would you suggest to people on how to handle this from a less fearful way and a less shameful way?
Okay, well, usually I just describe the facts that we have on the ground. So, and, you know, you're right. People, what you said earlier, sometimes people like to choose the facts that fit what they...
Their narrative.
Fit their fear.
Yeah.
But quite a long time ago, there was a serologic study, a blood study done in San Jose, many, many thousands of people who donate blood. So the blood bank had their blood. It was easy. Mm-hmm. And they checked to see how many people were already immune to COVID. Because part of the trouble with the data on, like, especially on, like, how deadly is this virus, part of the trouble is we don't really know how many people had it and never knew it or just mm-hmm. thought they had a little cold or, you know, whatever. Well, the serologic thing, that's a 99.6% accurate test.
Yes.
that we do to look for those antibodies. So the nasal swab, not so much. But at any rate, this test showed that it looked like the case fatality rate is what we call it. The case fatality rate is 0.3. That means 3 people out of 1,000 who get COVID will die from COVID. Mm-hmm. The hospitalization rate, I walked in a room with a cheerful mother, and she was crying before I walked in the room. And she has a 7 and 9-year-old, and she was crying. I said, "What's the matter?" And she just held out her phone. She said, "My kids are going to die of COVID." And so she held out the phone. Had a newspaper headline, newspaper from Texas, mm-hmm. Austin, Texas, and it just looked like, you know, it was Armageddon what was happening in Texas,
mm-hmm.
and the kids are all going to die, and there's lava dripping out of the sky, and, you know, stuff like that. And then I said, well, let's read the article. And so we went through the article, and they compared hospitalization rates January versus July. The January hospitalization rate was 0.3 per 100,000 kids.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness. So 350,000 kids sick to get one in the hospital.
Right.
Boy, I'll take those odds.
Mm-hmm.
And then the huge 25% increase was in July, it went to 0.4.
So they were...
We're all going to die.
Yeah.
You know, but her mind read the headline. Her brain read the headline, not the whole thing. So I just try to, you know, explain to people that, no, guess what? You're not going to die.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're 300-pound and uncontrolled diabetic, you got a pretty good shot at it.
Yeah.
So... And to try to talk people into getting the vaccine, which I do every day. I've never been an anti-vaxxer. I get a flu shot every year. I mean, they come in with the craziest things that they get off the internet. You know, there's nanobots in the vaccine, and it's, you know, they're going to track you. I mean, who would want to track me? that's just kind of hilarious.
You can apologize in advance.
Yes. But yeah, it would be, you'd really go to sleep. I gave them this angle. I say, look, if you get COVID, the worst part is you have to lay in bed for 2 weeks watching Netflix.
And gain 5 pounds.
Yes. No, the worst part was I gave it to my wife and,
yeah, she lost her sense of smell.
Yeah, she lost 6 pounds because she couldn't smell or taste.
She didn't lose it. You found it.
I found it. I gained the 8 pounds because I ate her food, which was really dumb. But, yeah, so my argument is, do you really, for just going in and you can just get one jab for the Johnson & Johnson. It's a pretty good vaccine. And, if you get that, then you don't have to quarantine.
Right.
So, I mean, I think the quarantine is a bad part.
I got
COVID.
The Johnson & Johnson because it seemed like the lesser of two fears.
Yeah. Yeah.
My own fear of vaccine here.
Yeah. And there's, you know, before I was 41 when I got my first flu shot. So I worked since I was, you know, 25, worked with sick people, and I never got the flu. So I thought I wasn't ever going to get it. That was stupid. And then I got the flu when I was 40, and I like to want to shoot myself. And,
that in anybody's psyche.
Yeah. Well, but from then on, you know, I'm a lot smarter. I get the flu shot.
Well, so you're saying that you're either going to get COVID or get the vaccine. Then there's a third thing. You've either already had COVID and you have immunity to it, even if you don't know you had it.
And that's easy to determine.
And you could go get an antibody test and find out. Get the blood test because it's more accurate. Or you're going to get COVID and you're going to most likely kick it and deal with it, but you're probably going to be quarantined or sick for a couple weeks.
And the antibody test now, you don't even need a doctor's note anymore. The government is actually trying to encourage people to be tested, so... And they want the data anyway.
You just go to the lab.
Yeah, you just go to LabCorp and to Quest here in this town.
Okay.
And then they will draw your blood and there's no charge. I think the government pays the lab.
Okay, so that's good to know. You don't have to go donate blood to get an antibody test anymore.
But
okay,
if you want to donate blood, that's kind of a virtuous thing to do.
It is. And the blood bank will test to see if you have antibodies.
Yeah.
So you either have already had it or you're going to get it or you're going to get the vaccine.
Yep.
And those are just the facts about it. Now, if you can afford to be off work for 2 weeks and you can deal with being quarantined and all of that, then okay. And if you're got a healthy immune system and you're more willing to take the risk of dealing with COVID, okay. And see, I think that trying to make people fearful or mandate it or tell them that you have to is just not appropriate. It doesn't make people want to do it. Like in our hospital right now, local here in Northern California, health professionals are being told they have to get the vaccine or they have to leave their job. So at the end of the month, they're getting, in just a few days, they're going to lose a whole ton of nurses. And our ICUs are full, but they're not full from my understanding the research I did. They're not full from COVID. They're full from staff shortages.
Yes, there's a big staffing problem in the hospital.
And it's about to get way worse. And the other thing for those of you that are traveling nurses out there, I understand that if you're a traveling nurse and you want to travel and be in one of these hospitals that's getting rid of all their nurses, you can make $200 an hour.
Yeah, strike while the iron is hot. It's kind of a buyer's market for
traveling nurses.
For traveling nurses, yes.
Yeah. All right, so just to sum up here, you guys, Dr. Malachi is saying you don't have to be so fearful of COVID that you can't manage what you need to do. Talk to your medical professional about the vaccine and your immune system. That's what you're going in to say. With my immune system, should I be getting the vaccine or am I healthy enough to take the risk of getting COVID? That's the question you need. And get tested for antibodies to find out if you already have them or if you've had COVID. Okay, so the other thing is trying to shame other people with masks or social distancing or vaccinations, or if you get COVID, like Mandy, like your child did, telling them they're bad people is not making COVID less fearful for our country. Let's try to be loving and kind and supportive and just keep saying to people, go talk to your physician and find out what you need. So if you're afraid, stop and say, what is it my fear that's happening to me that's making me shame others or making me feel like a victim of being shamed? So I want to thank Dr. Richard Malachi and Mandy, a great mom who has been here today to help others with this COVID shaming issue. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, and you've been listening to Therapy in a Nutshell, where I just want to help heal the world 1 hour at a time.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.